Now. Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
I want to talk about a topic that's probably on the minds of many employers and business owners across the country, and that is, it's kind of hard to find decent staff nowadays. And I had a conversation with a friend, actually today, and we were talking about staff, and I was telling him that I'd been off sick, but I've said it's the first time I've actually taken time off sick in this radio station since I started. The only other time I actually tell a lie was during COVID-19. I tested positive for COVID and I was told to go home for 3 days, even though I had no symptoms. And that was just the way it was for everybody at the time, if you remember. So I had to go home and do some work from home. But apart from that, I haven't been off sick. This is the first time I've actually had a feeling that I've had to take time off sick. And by the way, I'm still sick. I've been told that I won't feel better for at least another month or so because it's a blood infection and it takes a long time to go away. And just to let you know, during the break, I checked my temperature. It's 38.2 or 4 or something like that. So it is, you know, high at this moment of time. But for most people, that would be enough for them to say, I'm off, I'm out, that's it, leave me, doctor's note, 3 weeks, off I go. But for some people, is it old school, old stock, you know, hail, rain or shine, they just go to work. Recent statistics show the challenges faced by employers in the first quarter of 2023, approximately 143,000 individuals in Ireland, 5.5% of those employed were temporarily absent from work during the reference week. And the Irish Business and Employers Confederation estimate that the absenteeism costs employers in Ireland around 1.5 billion annually. Beyond absenteeism, there is a growing sentiment that employees today aren't as dedicated as they once were. A recent survey found that 38% of workers in Ireland feel invisible or underappreciated at work. Well, true, this is true too, which can impact their commitment and performance. And that's true. If you feel underappreciated and you feel that, who cares about me? Nobody even notices me here anymore. Well, then you're probably more likely to take time off, aren't you? So what's going on? Are we facing a crisis of commitment in the workplace? I mean, why do you think good staff are so hard to find? That's a song, isn't it? Well, you could make up a song there, Fergal Sharkey. Good staff these days are hard to find. Anyway, so we want to hear from you. Do you think it's the new generation? They have no work ethic in them at all. Any opportunity, let's take time off. And let's be clear about it, by the way. I don't even have to get AJ to check, but I can guarantee you there's much higher absenteeism in the public sector than there is in the private sector because they get paid. There was never that policy in the private sector. A lot of businesses in the private sector don't pay sick pay. Now they have to nowadays because, of course, Leo Varadkar brought in laws. But there was a time, of course, up until recently where employers didn't have to pay sick pay. So for that reason, many people just couldn't afford to be sick. And many people just still can't afford to be sick. So when we talk about this, you know, and particularly in the public sector, I remember talking to a school teacher some time ago, and he was a very dedicated guy to his job. And he told me the principal came to him one day and said, "Are you not taking a bit of time off?" He said, "For what?" And he says, "You know, you can take it. You have a few sick days left there." And he said, "But why would I want to take sick days off? I'm not sick." And he says, "You should take them off. You're making everyone else look bad." And that's the truth. That's what they said. You make everyone else look bad if you don't take time off. Now, the Garda Síochána, I believe, still have the highest rate of absenteeism for sick pay, but that's kind of understandable because obviously they get into situations where they may get injured or whatever it happens to be, or maybe come across something that would do emotional damage to them. So I can understand that. Nurses and doctors have a high rate of sick. That's obvious as well because they're working with sick people and sometimes they may catch colds, flus, whatever it is off other people that they're working with. So I can understand that as well. Although there is piss-taking going on, and that's for sure. Absolutely, within the public sector, there's piss-taking going on because they get paid. In the private sector, generally, you won't have that because people don't get paid as much or don't get paid at all in some circumstances. So I want to know, have we lost the ability or have workers nowadays not got the same work ethic as they used to have years ago? Or am I kind of delusional here? Am I wrong? Let me know what you think. The number is, as usual, 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. Mick, hi, how are you?
How are you doing?
I'm good, Mick.
How are you?
Well, no, I'm not good, actually, but I'm all right. So,
but, go ahead.
Yeah, Mick, do you think people have the same work ethic, young people in particular, you know, those kind of 20 to 35-year-olds, do they have the same work ethic that, you know, older people would have had in their day?
Absolutely not. People I know, and they don't want to work. And I wouldn't do it for that money, I'll put it to you another way. I'm 68 years old in 3 months' time, 2.5 months' time, and I'm still doing nearly 60 hours a week.
Good man.
And I've no intentions of stopping because the way I look at it is, why should I?
Now, here's the thing. Are you doing it because you have to do it financially, or are you doing it because you just like your job?
I love working. I love work.
What do you do?
I joined the army.
What do you do, Mick?
I work in security. That's what I do at the moment.
Okay.
And I average 13 hours a night.
Right.
And I love it. And the client that I work for, he treats me like a father. You know what I mean? Or a son, or whatever you want to call
so
it.
So you're respected. Very, very good, they have good respect for you. Yeah, good.
Totally. You know? But I've had work with other people. And one guy that wrote an abuse at me, and I took out my pay slip and I handed it to him. And he said, "What's that for?" I said, "Read it." And he read it all down, the whole lot. And I said, "Read it out to you." Well, he read it all. I said, "You see that in there where I have to, I'm paid to take abuse?" "No," he says. "Well, when you pay me to take abuse, I'll take it." I said, "On your bike." So it was a digging match, and I put him on his back. I walked out.
I walked straight into a company. Okay, yes. I don't obviously condone violence towards anybody, but yeah, I can understand why you would have been angry. Yeah.
I was pissed off at it because he came in one day, tried to humiliate me in front of other women that worked in the company. Furthermore, the same company, in the space of 1 year, over 100 different women in the offices come and go because they wouldn't work with this man. He was absolutely obnoxious.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, in life, we do come across obnoxious people that we have to work with. But look, if people are obnoxious or bully you or whatever it happens to be, you're better off out of the place.
Yeah.
But the place you're working now, you love, and you love working there. 68 years of age, you're quite happy to work. So what is it about 35-year-olds or 30-year-olds or even 20-year-olds that they don't have that same work ethic? They even get a sniffle and they have to go homesick.
Yeah. First of all, easy money on the dole. All that. In my day, you didn't have that. You had to go out and earn your shilling. And that's it. It's too easy now for them. And there's no discipline and there's no respect. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll put it to you a better way. I was 11 years, just going on 11 when my mother died. But when I turned 11, I was working on the building site for a pound a day.
Wow. So did you finish school when you were 11?
And I went straight to work.
Wow. Yeah, a lot of people did in those days, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I went to work and I learned my trade and that was it. End of story. And I never looked back.
And what were you doing on the building site? You said you learned your trade. What were you, a bricky, carpenter? What were you?
I'm an electrician by trade.
And why aren't you still doing that? You'd be making more money as an electrician than you would in security. So why don't you still do that?
I have my house bought and paid for. I have my car bought and paid for. My wife is looked after. Kids are all gone. So why should I bust my arse anymore? I do jobs that I still do, that I'm qualified to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The story, and I'll keep it up. But the people whom I work for, the client, it couldn't do enough for me. So why should I ruin that?
Yeah.
You know?
That's a good point.
When my brother died, I told take a week off, and I said, "But no, take a week." And he said, "I'll look after everything for you."
That's good of them, wasn't it? Yeah, they had no obligation to do that, by the way. But that's really good of them to do that.
Yeah.
And that's by the way, that's what a good employer will do. You know, when you're sick or when a family member dies, a good employer will contact you and say, "Listen, don't be worried about the money. Yeah. You know, take as much time as you need. We'll look after things for you."
Well,
that's what a good employer does.
Christmas just gone because my wife wasn't well, right? He let me take the 2 days off and he handed me a Resolute card with €1,000 on it. That's your Christmas bonus.
Well, that was nice of him.
You know what I mean?
He's a good employer. Can I get a job with him? he's a good employer.
That's the client that I do security for.
But stay there just for a second. Let me go to Michal as well, who's one of our oldest workers who rings in. Over the age of 80 and still working his way through life. Michal, hi, how are you?
Thank you, Gitchin Shin. The same elaborate have a mark, babe. My terror score is a door, imagine a mark.
Something about tomorrow morning. That's the only thing I understand there.
Tomorrow morning is my birthday. I'm 82 tomorrow morning.
Oh, happy birthday.
That's it. Happy birthday for me. That's it. That man is 50, you're only a baby. I was running marathons when I was your age.
So, 82 and still working. So, Michal, I can tell you now, in 40 years or 50 years' time, there'll be no 82-year-olds working. Because that, but the work ethic just isn't there anymore, is it?
Well, it is. Like that gentleman on the phone there just now. Now, he's a generation younger than me, but he still has the correct approach. It's like running marathons. I ran them for the crack. I didn't care. You didn't say you were used to it. But he works. He loves it. I work. I absolutely love it. I don't drink or smoke, but I surely love work. But the people today, now that it's up to 30, up to 25 or 6, the doors, they couldn't be banded their arse. Like, why should I? We'll go on the door. So, guys, if I want that many hours, I'll work on the door. It's just there's too much money available to them. And then they give out if the non-nationals come in. And there's no quicker man to give out about non-nationals than me. But, like, now you mentioned about the Gardaí, the nurses and stuff like that. At the present minute, I'm fetched in hospital now as I'm talking to you. And I'm relaxed for myself. I have plenty of time to talk to you tonight.
Oh, God. And what did you say? You're in hospital now?
I am, yeah. Of course I am, yeah.
Why, what's wrong with you? What happened to you?
Chest pains, a couple of heart. I got a stint before and possibly need another. I don't know yet.
Okay. Oh, jeez, I hope you're okay, Micheál.
Running. Well, thanks to the Lord God, he always gave me a sense of humour. I was in a bad accident when I was 19, a crazy bad accident. I prayed to the Lord. If I get out of the chair I was in, I'd never look back and never do a bad turn. Mm-hmm. And from that day to this, I don't. And I'm always in good humour. I don't care what day of the week you ring me, I'm in good humour. I made a promise to me, divine maker, and I'm keeping it.
So, Micheál, when you look at these statistics, which show you that, you know, 38% of workers in Ireland feel invisible, underappreciated, and are more likely to take time off sick, 143,000 individuals in 1 year, costing the state 1.5 billion time off sick. Why is it so many people are taking time off? They're not all sick, let's be clear about it.
No, they're not sick. They're definitely not sick. We're talking about the men in blue, like, and they get 6 weekdays. I don't know how to do their job. And nurses, like, I don't see why. Well, I don't know if they take time off or not, but their jobs, they're extremely hard. I know them here. I know them in their homes. And the amount, the absolute heart, but the majority, there's an awful lot of non-nationals, but it makes no difference, Irish or not. They are absolutely unbelievable workers. I couldn't say anything bad about them, but people that take time off, they are wasters in the first instance. They don't deserve a job.
There's a listener sent in a message here. Said that's not right talking about young lads. Don't paint them all with the same brush. There are young lads willing to work. Don't come on and say young lads are lazy. Well, no, by the way, nobody said that everybody was young people were lazy. Nobody said that tonight. But there is definitely a different work ethic generally, isn't there?
You know, you said 38%. That's an awful lot. And the 38% that are going sick, everything. I'd love to know what percentage of them are under or over 30. I'd like to know what the percentage that is. But the majority today, people implied, the dole is so much good. The gentleman just before me said it there as well. There's too much money available. And then they get a day or two, they're nickers. And they're coming out for far more than the wording when they get a normal job where they have to pay their revenue and whatnot. There's too much available to them on the sideline.
Are younger people a bit softer? I'm not saying all of them, by the way, to that listener who sent the message clearly. Are they a bit softer when it comes to work ethic?
Yeah.
You know, they wake up in the morning and they have a bit of a headache and they ring in, they go, oh, how are you? Yeah. I can't come in to say I have a bit of a headache.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They don't have a commitment. The lack of commitment is not there. If there was a commitment there, if the lack of commitment, responsibility, anything like that, and in a lot of cases, they might go back to their parents. Maybe their parents are the same way. But I'm not saying one way or the other, but there's no commitment. It's a serious drop in commitment. And I see that right throughout my time. And I've had so many different people working for me right throughout the years, up 50, 60 different places. And you become geniuses. And you'll always have one or two bad apples in the bag. And they'll be standing around a corner or hiding somewhere. They'll be smoking where they shouldn't be smoking. And you're always and never be one or two bad apples in the bag. But 38%, I'd love to know what percentage of that is under 30, what percentage is over the 30.
I'm looking here, by the way, there's a story actually in the paper here that says Dublin Pub ordered to pay 30,000 to former barman. One of Dublin's best known pubs has been ordered to pay 30 grand in compensation to a former employee who was fired because of his age. The Workplace Relations Commission ruled that the Hairy Lemon Pub in Stephen's Green Lower in Dublin has discriminated against a maintenance operative, John Mooney, on the grounds of age. So there you go. There's a fella who wanted to work. He was 71 years of age and they chucked him out and said, you're too old out of that, for God's sake. But now they lost 30 grand. There you go.
That is wrong. That happened in a radio station. Without mentioning that, it happened. Some of the senior people that hit the retiring age in our broadcasting station, they were someone who knew what I'm talking about. And they took them to court. And they were let go because they were of a certain age and it cost them an awful lot of money. That's it. You can't just let people go because of their age. If they're physically fit and willing to work. Willing to work means an awful lot. Then after that comes your health, and that's only second place. If you're a workaholic, your health is down the line. Your health will always be good. It's all in the mind. It's all in your spirit. And if you have the inclination to work, I'll tell you, you'll work.
Well, do me a favour. Stay there. I want to go to Tom just quickly before the break as well. Tom, hi. How are you?
How are you doing, Aaron? How are things?
Good, Tom. Now, you're an employer, but you can't get staff.
I don't run the business, but the company I work for, we literally screaming for staff. And basically, I think there's two factors involved. First of all, the COVID make things kind of awkward a little bit because people felt that they can have easy money, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. That kind of got them used to being a bit lazy. Yeah, okay.
Exactly. And the second factor, I think that the young generation doesn't have any respect for the money and doesn't know how money are worth. Like, you know, really how much effort everybody has to put it in to make a few bob.
Okay. So, by the way, I wouldn't disagree with you. I'm not saying all young people, but I do believe that young people nowadays don't have the same value for money that we would have had, say, at 18 or 19 years of age.
I'm only in my 40s, like, you know, but... as you know, like you yourself as well, and many other lads that listen to us, probably they would be 40, 50, even older, not. But they all have a bit of respect for the money. Like, you know, every one of us is struggling to get up in the morning just to go there, do your own bits and pieces, make a few bob, pay the bills, and that's it. Happy days. But the young generation, I mean, the lads in 20s, even in 30s, like. Some of them still living with mammies and all, you know, they don't have to pay the bills. They don't have to worry about the group or anything like this. So everything is literally provided for them, you know. Mm. I think if the person one or a second lad would end up in the middle of the street with a bag of whatever he had left with him, that would be a completely different game.
And when you say you're struggling to get staff, like, do they have interviews or put in, you know, jobs in the paper?
I mean, the people are coming in, but they literally gone in the space of week two, three.
Well, it's just too tough. It's too tough, is it?
I wouldn't say it's too tough. Like, no, it's not a construction work. It's like a warehouse.
Right. Okay.
More
yeah.
or less. Job, yeah. You know.
But see, but the problem is, I find that a lot of young people, not all, a lot of young people don't like getting their hands dirty.
They all want to
sit behind a desk at a computer and do things like that. They all want to work in Google and Apple and all these places.
Yeah, you took them on the Indian people who come into the country. They're brilliant workers. The Indian people working in the hospital that I'm in at the minute, they belong in any medical profession that there is in the country. The amount of Indian people, they're absolute unbelievable workers.
Yep.
And there's always a smile on their face. Now, the Irish people used to be that way. And that's it. But we have to import them now to get a smile on them, and they're brilliant workers. So
do you remember when the Polish people came to Ireland first, kind of in the mid-2000s? They kind of showed us up a little bit, because Polish people were just, you know, you saw them on construction sites, you know, doing pavements, whatever, and they're just such great workers, dedicated.
That's what Irish used to be. The Irish were like that, brilliant workers. People just said one time the Irish were great workers everywhere. They went to get a job. Well, unfortunately, that's changed, but the Polish showed us up. Jesus, they're great workers. Still are. They're brilliant.
By the way, Tom, I detect an accent. You're not Polish by any stretch of the imagination, are you?
I am.
I kind of thought it was an accent there. All right, yeah.
Like, I remember, the guy who was Michael, is it? Michal,
yeah.
Yeah, he was... There was no institution a few years back. There was no institution like bank or anywhere you went. You always met some Poles, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Those days are more or less gone. So many people went back home. Some people moved to other countries and so on. I don't know
how many's in the Polish community. At one stage, it was ridiculous. There was like, I think 400,000, 500,000 Polish people in Ireland at one stage. I don't think it's that much anymore, is it?
No. I don't know, to be honest, how many Poles will be now in Ireland.
Well, they came here during the last boom that time, the Celtic Tiger.
About 2005, 2007.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. And then when it all fell apart at the seams in 2009, 2010, they pissed off.
I'm Polish people working, and they were absolutely brilliant. You had to give them 101 out of 100 if possible. They were absolutely brilliant. They showed up everybody else.
Yeah, AJ just told me, by the way, in 2022, there's 100,000 Polish people in Ireland. There you go. I didn't know it was that low, because at one stage, I think it was up around 300,000 or 400,000. So it has dropped substantially. I have to go into a break. Michal, Tom, thank you. The number, by the way, is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. I'm asking why so many young people, and I'm talking about young people in general, right? I'm not saying every young person, by the way. There's some great young people out there who really want to work hard. But there's a different work ethic. We were talking about this today with a mate of mine. We were talking about, you know, just not being able to get staff, et cetera, et cetera. You know, they kind of sneeze and they want to take time off work, or they have a bit of a headache and they're taking time off work, or whatever it happens to be. So whereas, you know, in our day, you know, you went into work, unless your leg was hanging off, you literally went to work. So what's the difference? Why is it people have such bad work ethic nowadays? Particularly in the public sector. Yeah, I'm having a go at the public sector. It's going in. Somebody says, Michal is a great man. 82 tomorrow in hospital. Send him my best wishes. Yeah, well, he's in hospital today or tomorrow. But, you know, he'll be back out in work as soon as he gets out again. You can be sure of that. And
no one's there. The minute I get out, I'm straight to work.
Yeah, that's what it said. Somebody else says, lots of factors too. Many opportunities to work handy jobs due to low birth rates. There isn't as many young people. Well, that's not true, by the way. There might be low birth rates, but there's a lot of people moving to Ireland. Now, remember, of course, 20% of the population of this country weren't originated or didn't get born in, or weren't born in this country. So the population is still increasing, although we have a low birth rate. We're now up to, what is it, 5.2 million at this stage? And CSO predicts that the population by 2050 will be up to 7.5 million. So, you know, we need to increase the guards numbers, as we were talking about earlier on, but we also have to obviously create more jobs for the extra 2 million people that'll be here in the next 20 or 30 years. But our young people in particular, we're talking about the younger generation, that, you know, I'm not talking about the baby boomers like me and Michal, who's a baby boomer as well, or the Gen X's. We're talking about the Gen Z's. The Gen Z's. Are they, you know, because as far as Tom is concerned, you know, they struggle to get staff. Tom, so getting back to what I said earlier on, is it because they don't want to get their hands dirty?
I wouldn't say that. It's more or less, I would call that laziness, to be honest.
Mm. Laziness.
That's what I would say.
Mm.
That's what I can see, you know.
Yeah. And what about the fact that, you know, they seem to take more time off? When you look at the research in relation to time off, they seem to take a huge amount of time off.
Like, basically, the people looking for any excuse just to not show up to work. As you said earlier on, bit of sneeze, bit of cough, and straight away, the temperature just over 38, if somebody measured that. Stay off for a few days straight away, like, you know?
Yeah, doctor's note. Yeah, I mean, look, a doctor will give you, if you go into a doctor and say you're not feeling well, a doctor will give you a note for 2 weeks. That'll, you know what I mean? They're quite happy to give you a note if you want one.
But you, exactly, you know yourself, if you go there, if you tell them that you have a pain here and a bit of headache and a bit of that, they give you nothing straight away for a week too, as long as you want.
Yeah. I've never had a doctor's note.
Just to put that effort to go to the doctor, you know?
Yeah. I've never had a doctor's note in my life, ever. Yeah. Have you, Michal, have you ever had a doctor's, well, you, I suppose you will now because you're in hospital, but I mean, have you ever produced a doctor's note?
I was in hospital 3 or 4 times in my life. Seriously bad. But the point is, after crashes and stuff like that, but never sick. Never. I never took a day sick in my life.
Ever? 82?
I never took a day sick, and I worked for the government originally for donkey years. I never took a day sick in my life.
Okay, apart from when you were in hospital for serious problems.
Well, I'm a hospital in modern times. Different cow come in the window and left me on my back for a few days and things like that. Truck backed out in front of me and up the arms of a truck. Truck like that happened. But, like, I've never, ever been out sick.
Are we being unfair on young people? Some people sending in messages saying we're being a bit unfair on the younger generation, saying that, you know, they have a good work ethic, they're just different to us. Are we being a bit unfair?
If they had a good work ethic, they'd be at work. And if you said, a bit of a temperature, here with the temperature, get out of your bed and go to work. But the problem I see today is they're all on IT. They all want a handy job. Well, the man down the road now, and he's getting so much per week, and I used to work, and he's doing spec all looking at a computer. And, like, everybody wants to be sitting in front of a computer and not put any effort into anything. In my generation, the other gentleman there a minute ago, you have to work. And that was it. And you have to work, and you absolutely loved it. You loved what you did, the same as me. I absolutely love what I do. And the point is, you have to have a commitment. If you have a commitment, the love for the job falls into play.
I do understand, according to the survey, by the way, it said 38% of workers in Ireland feel invisible or underappreciated in work. Now, I don't, maybe some of those people are a little bit, I know, insecure or something like that. Anyway, but maybe not all of them, which can impact their commitment and their performance. In other words, if their boss is not telling them every day, look, you're doing a great job, well done, they kind of feel unappreciated and then they don't give a shite and take time off. Do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, that's unfortunately what they're doing. But the person that says they're not appreciated, to me, that'll be the guy that's not putting in the effort of the work in the first place. His mates are probably putting in the effort of maybe carrying him. But the point is, if you're going to say to yourself there, I'm not appreciated, you're getting paid to do a job and do a good job. Lord of mercy, my father said, you have to start, you know, no point in arriving at being on time for work. You have to better be 10 minutes there than to be dead on time. Be there on time, do a good day's work, and go home satisfied with yourself.
Yeah, you don't need the boss to be coming patting you on the back every night saying, well done, you're doing a great job.
Yeah. Well, now I've often said that to lads, and if I've said, well, you're a second useful, but they turn around and they tell me the same thing. But another thing, when you're working with staff, I find out myself and found this over the years, when you have a number of staff working on particular jobs, the different jobs that require more staff than others, there's no thing as the boss. Everybody, I would tell everybody starting, you're your own boss. I'm not your boss. You're your own boss. And you do a good day's work, you're your own boss. If you do a bad day's work, well, your employment could be terminated. Everybody's on the same level. There could be 10 or 20 people on the job, including myself. I work my boss off the same as any one of them. If you know such a thing as not doing this and not doing that, you have to be on ground level with them. And I never, maybe one or two throughout my entire life, said that I was a bollocks, that I was this or that. But no, you work with them, you're on the same level as them, but you're not going to turn around every evening and say, oh God, when the job is over, you say, thank you very much, lads, and if it was a good job, you might give the lads a few extra bob. But that's the end of the job, whether 2 or 3 days, lads, great lads, that was it, and have a cup of coffee. You'll have some way of making it up and keeping the friendship going. But that's the employer. But you will have a lad or a hump on his back, and no matter what you do with him, or you turn up and polish his shoes, he's still living out here, and he's probably doing less than everybody else.
Stay there a second. Let me just go to John as well. John, hi, how are you?
Welcome back again.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it. John, young people now, do they have... Why do they not have the same work ethic? Because I'm not saying all of them, but many of them, just when we look at the figures and the stats of time off sick, mm-hmm. we're seeing more and more people taking time off sick constantly all the time. So why is that happening?
I think something has been lost. I think the work ethic, I mean, compared to when I started and the other people on the line there. I think if you watch the programme there, it's actually a very good programme. It takes a village to raise a child. I don't know if you've seen it or not there. But there's kids being, they're taken from the Pride Pass, we say Limerick now, Dublin, whatever, right? And they go to the local communities, like in County Cork and County Kerry and other places. They're working on farms, boys and girls, right? Teenagers now, like, I mean, that would be at that time in their life when they don't know their head from their ass. And it's amazing at the end of the week, you know, they don't want to do anything at the start. And of course, the one thing they all have in common is the blasted phone. That phone is taken off them the minute they land on the farm or wherever they are. And they only get it back when they're going away. But you could see the difference. Even the kids admitted themselves that they actually, like, didn't care about the phone as much, like, and it didn't get the same priority at the end of the week. They actually got satisfaction out of working on the farm and doing things and being praised and showing how to do it.
So you're saying people actually did work in those days, whereas nowadays they're going into a job and they're sitting on their phone for half the day.
Yeah, and you could see, like, I mean, like, they actually got to like the work, you know what I mean? And actually the very fact that they could do something that they'd never done before, milking cows and all this kind of stuff, right? Working in garden centres, working behind the shop and getting used to dealing with people, customers, like, and the woman had to kind of say, look, you'll have to engage there now, because they hadn't the knack of talking to people and small talk. But by the time the week is up, they all blossomed, like, and they actually missed that environment, and they were looking forward to coming back maybe again on a holiday or whatever, right? But it just goes to show, like, there's no kid, like, I mean, that's lazy naturally there. Again, a lot of it is down to the parents. And in some of these cases that you see in the TV, like, the parents, you could know by looking at them and the way that there was a psychologist then comes in to talk to the kids when they're just finished, but also to the parents. But you could see a lot of the parents, like, they didn't have the skills themselves now. And that's what you see, like, they just left the kids, like, some of the kids were on their phone until 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, inside in the bedroom, like, and then they couldn't get up for school. They weren't going to school. What is missing in the society today, I think, is the work ethic, number one, but also the discipline that your parents and my parents, like, it's like that, just the parents don't care, or, well, sure, what can you do? And that's a lot of bollocks. Of course, you can do something. You instill the discipline, even if you had a tough time yourself coming up. Like, you should learn from those mistakes as parents, and then you should make sure that doesn't happen to your kid. But definitely, like, this entitlement that they know that everyone must have a phone. Everyone must look good. I mean, you see all the programs on. I mean, the kids have been bombarded with choice. Girls and fellas, like, you have to look a certain way. You have to have the right clothes. You have to fit in with the right crowd. You must be here. You must go there. I mean, the landscape has totally changed. I actually feel sorry for young people now. But the one thing, like, I mean, I came across as I said in those programs is the discipline. You have to have discipline in life.
Mm. And I know it's more difficult for young people at this present moment in time because of the housing crisis and everything else, and they end up living with their parents for longer, which is not a good thing, by the way, for independence. But in relation to what I said earlier on, somebody was moaning there on the text that they said they work in the public sector, and it's not true that the public sector take advantage of sick pay. Do you believe that the public sector have it easier when it comes to taking time off and absenteeism than the private sector?
Oh, we're big time. Like, I mean, the civil servants, you mentioned the Elon Musk there, was it today earlier on, that, like, he's taking, you saw the picture of him there with the chainsaw, like, I mean, otherwise he's going cutting, you know, cutting lumps out of the, what we would call us, like, our civil service here. I mean, the case in point, when Micheál Martin was health minister, yeah, we were the north health board, the south east, and the west health boards. He disbanded all the health boards and he created the HSE. There was 100,000 people flipped overnight. That included doctors, nurses, staff, clerical staff, everything. 100,000. Now, apart from the people that are on the very front line, like the doctors and the nurses, like, you mean to tell me, like, that all those people, that 100,000 people were needed now? No way.
I think there's around 600,000 at the moment in the public sector. Maybe it could be a little bit more now. I remember at one stage it was 540. I think it's gone up. It's about 600,000 now.
I
imagine we could probably do without 20% of that. That's just my own personal guess. We could do without 20% of it.
I mean, the days I came in working in a job one time there was 30 girls inside the main office, like, dealing with the cash, the wages, you know, all the invoices, everything, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Mm-hmm. When the computerization came in, like, they were able to cut that down to about 6 people.
By the way, I don't want to see anybody losing their jobs, but I also don't want to see a situation where the state are paying people to sit around and do nothing all day.
The thing is, I mean, if the job, like, I mean, if you can streamline it, and obviously, like, I mean, especially the, like, the civil service or whatever, it's we're paying for that, like.
It's not to do with streamlining it. I told the story before, and it's a true story. I knew somebody who worked in the civil service. I won't say which department, right? Because I don't want to give the game away, right? But she was moved to a different department after she was on maternity leave. So the department she was moved to had to basically, I don't want to give the game away and say which department it was, but she had to process applications, right? Mm-hmm. So she went in on her first day after going back from maternity leave, and she went into the office of whatever, the boss or the supervisor, and said, right, and he said, okay. And he handed her about 26 applications and said, there you go. Off you go there now. And there were physical applications, paper applications, right? Mm-hmm. So off she went anyway, because this is going back about 15 years ago, before, I suppose, all applications now generally are on computers anyway. But she went through them anyway, and in about 2 hours, and she went back into him and she said, listen, I've finished those. You have a few more for me to do. And he said, well, hold on for a second. Just get yourself a newspaper there, he said, or a cup of tea. Go over to the canteen there and relax for a few minutes. Take it easy. And she said, but I'm finished. I'll do a few more. I don't mind. And he said, no. That's all you're doing today. That's all you need to do. He said, you'll make everybody else look bad. And that's part of the problem, isn't it?
Well, it is big time. Because I remember one time there was a guy, he worked in the job, and he was moved like that in the departments again, like, I mean, and I thought he was a good worker, and he started belting away into it. And he was getting stuff done, like, I mean, way faster than the rest of them. They were just dragging their ass along, like. And the boss went down of that particular department, and he saw the maintenance manager. And he said, look, I need another man. He said, up on my section above there. And in the meantime, he didn't know that the guy that was after being moved up, like, I mean, that was built into all the work, right, had went down to the boss and said, look, is there any way you could put me back to my own department? He said, yeah, I'm getting through the work. He said, very quickly. He said, and I have nothing to do. He said,
I'm bored. I'm bored.
And when your man went down looking for the extra staff, your man said, are you for real? He said the boss. Jesus Christ, he said, there's a guy just after coming in here, but it wasn't me. He said, he's bored shitless. He wants to go back to the department he was in. And you're looking for staff.
Okay, well, hang on a second, because I want to go to Elaine. Stay there, Micheál. Actually, Micheál, I'm going to let you go there. But listen, Micheál, I do wish you the best of luck in the hospital, by the way. Yeah, I wish you well, and I hope you get better. All right.
I second that.
Thank you, Micheál. Stay there, John, for a second. Let me go. Oh, sorry, it's Ellen. Ellen, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you doing?
Good. Are you going to give out to me?
Not yet.
Okay,
not
far
yet.
Away.
No, I just wanted to...
Give me another week. Go on, Ellen, go on.
I missed the last few minutes, but it caught my eye or my ear when you were talking about civil servants, etc., and leave and all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
I work for the HSE.
Oh, okay.
And I unfortunately... When I got COVID, well, I was out for five months.
5 months?
Yeah, having only got 3 days sick leave or COVID pay.
Okay, which was 350 quid or something, whatever, yeah.
Well, no, I got 3 days COVID sick leave. But
oh, okay.
The rest of it was all regular sick leave.
Oh, okay. All right, okay.
Okay, and later
can I ask a question, Ellen? I'm just curious now. I'm just being nosy now. How did you end up? Did you get long COVID or how did you end up with that much time off? Were that being that sick?
I wasn't well.
Oh.
I wasn't well. I couldn't breathe or whatever. I still have.
Are you okay?
It was never diagnosed as being long COVID, but like I'm still spluttering and coughing and I would never had any issues with regard to asthma or anything on that type of line.
But are you back at work? Are you back in work now? Yeah, yeah.
I am back at work, yeah. And I got COVID in February and I went back to work, I think, sometime in June. And I then, unfortunately, I had to have surgery on my hand and I had surgery in my hand in November. And I was off until February.
You've had a bad stroke of luck, haven't you?
Absolutely. I'm out of sick leave for the next 4 years as a result of the whole lot.
Yeah.
I had never taken sick leave
before
prior
that.
To that.
Yeah, or since all that.
Years.
Yeah.
Yeah. My big give out is some people would take their entitled, in inverted commas, leave or whatever. But in my 30-odd years in the HSE, well, Western Health Board or whatever, prior to HSE, I would have never taken a single uncertified sick leave day.
The problem is, statistically, people take more sick leave within the public sector, primarily, by the way, within An Garda Síochána and the HSE. Now, I do understand the reasons for that, because obviously you're working with sick people, so you're more likely to get sick. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I also understand with the guards that you're working in a dangerous job where you might get injured or whatever it is, or psychological damage. So I can understand why people take more time off. But a lot of us, I'm not saying all of us, a lot of it is taking the piss.
I totally agree. And I would definitely, I could actually point out lots of people that I reckon do take the piss. But from my point of view, it was said to me there lately that the number of uncertified days you can take in the year has increased from 4 days to 7 days, and I'm there. Okay, I have no leave for the next 4 years because in 2022 I took this time off. So I said, I can take an uncertified sick day. I was sick last week. A one-off, one day. And I was told, no, you can't take any uncertified sick days because you've taken all your sick leave for the next 4 years. So
cumulatively.
I
didn't know they did it that way, cumulatively, by the way. I didn't know they kind of added it up over years like that. You could take it all in one go. But there you go. Yeah. By the way, I still find it unusual that in the public sector, people can still take uncertified days. Like, you'd never get away with that in the private sector. Never.
But in the budget, the uncertified sick days were included, I thought, for everybody. I don't know.
I know Leo Varadkar. No, he brought in sick pay because, of course, up to 3 years ago, private companies or in the private sector didn't have to pay sick pay. They could have a policy of not paying it. Now they can't do that anymore, right? But no. I don't think you're allowed, like, there's no law says you must give uncertified days. That's only in the public sector, I believe.
Okay, yeah, well, anyway.
I mean, you have to, like, if I'm sick, I have to have a note. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, in my case, when I am next able to probably get sick leave, I'd be nearly retired.
So you better not be sick between now and then. Ellen, do me a favour. Stay there for a second, because I have to take a quick break. John, stay with me as well. I'm going to go to James as well after break, and we get back to work ethic as well. Hang on. Before I go to James, Ellen, do you think young people, because you mentioned you're going to retire soon, so I'm not going to guess your age, but, you know, we can all have a fair guess at what age you might be. Okay, so do you...
I have another maybe 5 years.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay. But still, 5 years, you know, you're like me. You're no spring chicken. You know what I mean?
No.
So here's the thing. Do you think young people today, when I say young, 20 to 35-year-olds, do they have the same work ethic as we would have had when we were 20 or 30 to 35?
Not a bit of it.
Yeah.
Mm.
Not a bit of it. They are sort of, they will do the minimum amount they can do or get away with.
So they dodge work is what you're saying to me.
They dodge work. They would put themselves out. Not at all. No. Definitely not.
And why do you think that is? Is it because... I mean, that's our fault then, isn't it? We're the parents. We raise those children. So that's our fault, isn't it?
Well, see, they're probably all much better educated than we are. So
yeah, because I remember when I was a young fella, you know, I was 13 years of age and my dad was building an extension out the back garden onto the house and he had me carrying bricks and mixing cement and, you know what I mean? And I was 13. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is, you know, we trained young people from a very young age when we were parents, you know, going back 30, 40 years ago, to work hard. But that doesn't happen anymore. Most teenagers now do nothing apart from sit in their bedrooms on their phones.
Yep. And they have the entitlement bits and pieces going. When I was a kid, I growing up, I always had a Saturday job. I never had to ask my parents for money for anything. I always had summer jobs. Never a problem, and summers were long and summers were absolutely great. Youngsters, unfortunately, these days, unless they're sort of at least 2 degrees, they're not going to be going anywhere fast from a work point of view, and a lot of them just,
Yeah, well, stay there for a second. I want to go to James as well. James, hi, how are you?
How are you?
Good. James. On my screen it says here, James says it's too easy not to turn up for work. Is it too easy?
Yeah, of course it is. What can you do with somebody who doesn't turn up for work?
Yeah, you can't fire them.
There's no consequences. You can probably give them warnings. To work in semi-state bodies is virtually impossible. They probably have to stab their supervisor to get sacked.
not that I condone that kind of behaviour. Yeah, but I understand you'd need to commit some sort of serious crime to get sacked.
It would have to be that serious. It's virtually impossible. I mean, the unions look after them. People before profit and all those other do-gooders are shouting for more sick time, more holiday time. The SMEs are burdened with time, losing time due to people not turning up for work, compulsory time off, all that sort of thing. Other countries are totally different. Don't get that amount of time out of American companies. Don't get that sort of carry on.
But there is a balance to be struck to being fair to employees as well, that if they genuinely are sick, that they're looked after. If they, you know, and also in relation to holidays, that we should all get at least 21 days. You know, 4 weeks four weeks a year, 20 days. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. 21 and 5, 6 days, that's a bit more.
Hmm.
Like, I mean, how many of those days that are lost sick are drunk days?
Oh, yeah. Well, the amount of drunk days in this country is probably more than most countries.
Yeah, like, I mean, so...
How many people are off sick on a Monday morning in this country? You know what I mean?
Or a Friday.
Yeah, Friday afternoon.
I had a great night last night. I'm dying.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I heard people say, I won't be late twice in the one day. You know what that means?
Yeah, I know what that means, yeah.
They're late in, they won't be late home, like, you know, that sort of thing. They've no pride or no consequence.
They can't hang over, no.
No, no.
They can't.
I remember years ago, I had a fellow working with me, right? And he was a producer in a show I worked in. And he wasn't working with me long, but he rang me at about 11 o'clock in the morning. And the show I was doing was on, I think, at 1 or 2 o'clock or something like that. And he rang me and he went, oh, yeah. Right? He did the voice, you know, the sick voice, right? Hell yeah. I said, you're ringing me to tell me you won't be in, you're sick, aren't you? And he went, Yeah. I said, why are you putting on that voice? I said, I've been to hospices where people are actually dying and they don't talk like that.
Sound better.
Yeah.
Sound
and better. He says, yeah. And all of a sudden his voice just changed then. And he goes, yeah. I said, what's wrong with you? He says, I just feel a bit sick. I'm after getting sick in the jacks. And I said, bring a bucket with you. I said, I don't care. I said, don't let me down. I said, if you let me down, I have no one here to produce the show. I said, bring a bucket in. I said, and I wouldn't mind. I said, the studio's right beside the jacks. You'd be grand. I can tell you he was in. In about 20 minutes, he arrived in. But he was willing to see. He was willing to ring me and just take a day off. You know what I mean?
It was easier to take. He said, like, the day off. I started working in 1969. I'm still working.
Mm.
No problem. What would I be doing?
So I used to say to people in radio, unless your leg is hanging off, you come into work. Now, maybe that's wrong of me to be saying that, because here I am in a very situation where I'm sick.
I had a cartilage sticking out of my knee on a Wednesday. Oh. And I was at work the following Monday.
Oh.
Because I worked for myself.
That sounds painful, by the way, having a cartilage sticking out of your knee. That just sounds painful.
It was a big disaster, but I was still able to answer the phone and do things like that.
Yeah. Sorry, John. What are you trying to say there?
It's a lot of it is known again to the parents. It's like doing jobs around the house. I know there's a girl there went into a house one day there, like, and the sweat is pouring off, you know, she's killing herself. She's a bit overweight. And she was trying to hoover while the teenage woman was sitting down on her tablet, like, in the couch. Like, and I says, excuse me, why isn't she doing the hoovering? Like, and look at the state of you, the sweat is pouring off you. She wouldn't do it right. I said, she can't hoover a fucking house. Are you for real or what?
She wouldn't do it.
I remember when I was 17 years of age, my father handed me a paintbrush and he showed me how to use this. And he said, off you go and all right. But I mean, he done me a favour and won me, because I was actually turning out to be an excellent painter and I was able to make a living when I left another job down along the line. Because when he gave me the paintbrush, then he sat back on his ass and he never done any maintenance and the house, I had to do it all.
I mean, Ellen, is James right? Is it just too easy not to turn up for work nowadays?
Absolutely. Are they still being paid? Like, if I have to, we'll say, for last Monday, I have to take that as annual leave as opposed to sick leave or whatever.
Yeah.
And if I don't, I screw up with my long-term...
What was wrong with you last Monday? Did you have a bit of a cold?
No, a vomiting bug.
Okay. It wasn't probably not a bug if it was only 24 hours. It was probably something you ate the night before, I imagine. Yeah.
Definitely not.
There's nothing worse than when you're vomiting and you're there over the jacks thinking, what did I eat in the last 24 hours? Was it the curry I got last night?
It was actually something my daughter, the son-in-law and the grandchild were away, and they actually came back to Ireland and they had it.
Oh, right. So they brought it home.
The little man. It was a real one.
The only good thing about vomiting bugs is they tend to go away quite quickly, you know. Although some people make a meal of it and take a week off work. Yeah, sorry, John.
Yeah. Horny in and the young people in there is one thing, right? But I mean, they're not so young as well. I know a case in point where a girl works in a medical in industry, we'll say, and there's a group of girls there. She'd done a course that no one else was able to do it, like it was very advanced, right? And there was a job came up, like, what was involved, like, you mean, with doctors and high-profile surgeons, you know, whatever. She was the only one capable of working with the doctors, right? Yet she couldn't take the promotion when it came up. And I said to her, why? Because she said part of the job would be then there was about five other girls working in the office. And she said, you couldn't motivate them on a month of Sundays. All they wanted to talk about was their fucking holidays and their babies.
That doesn't surprise me in some jobs. Listen, thank you very much indeed, James, John, Alan. I appreciate you coming on. After the break, by the way, I'm going to be talking about a bit of a domestic. I'll read out some of your texts as well in relation to that particular topic. But we have an interesting email here from a situation from a guy who separated from his ex, 2 kids, 6 and 9 years of age, has a new girlfriend, wants to go away for the weekend, but his ex is stopping him from going because that's a weekend he's supposed to take the kids. Is she being fair or is that just the rules of the game? Let me know what you think. The number is 087 188 0008.
Now. Real people. Real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.